and full of passion and on fire. Whenever I start talking about Jesus, I start getting like I am. You know, I just go nuts. I know sometimes it makes people nervous. I can talk too fast. I can stumble over my words. That's just the way God's built me inside, that as soon as I start talking and preaching and reading God's word, I get really excited. But then there's times when I'm not so excited, and I feel a little, you know, heavy. I feel a little complacent. I feel a little happy, or I'm okay where I'm at, and then I just feel kind of blah. Anybody ever been that, this blah? So I want to tell you, I got this new Bible, and it's a paraphrase Bible, and it's called the Street Bible. And so it's paraphrase, okay? So those of you guys that love your King James or your ESVs or whatever it is, this isn't on the same level. It's a paraphrase, but it came up in our small group on a Friday night, and I was reading this, waiting for something, and because I was in the van, and I didn't have a Bible, and I was waiting for something. I'm like, you know, I got this. So I started reading it, and what fired me up for this message was, we're going to be in 2 Timothy chapter 1, and I'll read it in the other version too, but I want you to see what fired me up about it, because it just spoke to me. I was like, yes, if I could put it in my words, it's exactly what I would say. So when you're in 2 Timothy chapter 1, say you're there. All right, and I'm going to read this two verses. This is verse 6 and 7 out of 2 Timothy chapter 1. And it's going to be hard for you to follow in yours, but this is what it says. It says, which is why I'm saying don't let your fire burn out. I put my hands on you to launch your work. It's like it was yesterday. And God's flame was leaping about, but it wasn't yesterday. And fires go out if they're not kept up. So keep fanning the flames. Keep it hot, because God doesn't give us a mouse mentality. This isn't a wimps for Jesus club. No, we get spiritual muscle, passionate love for people, and strong focus, all direct from God. And so, yeah, word. So we laugh, but as I read those two verses, I started thinking to myself, that's exactly right. We shouldn't have a mouse mentality. We're supposed to keep the fire flaming. We're supposed to keep it going and fan that fire and that passion. And then when I went back into the King James and started studying it and went into the Greek, they're spot on exactly what Paul was talking about. It was about keeping this thing real, keeping the fire burning, keeping our passion going. And I think I've shared it with you guys before, but I went to a church in Florida before I was born again. Kim and I were bouncing around to different churches. And this one church, the preacher preached, and when we left, the only thing I can remember out of it is I told her, if he doesn't believe what he's saying, there's no way I'm going to believe what he's saying. And that's the thought I had going away, was because he had no passion. To me, my interpretation, he could have been full of passion, but to me, he was just kind of standing there. It was mundane. It was, you know, and to me, I said, if there's something that's really life-changing and something that's really going to take us from hell to victory, we should be full of excitement for it. And I'm not just talking about, some people say, well, that's just fake excitement, or you can work it up. No, I'm talking about real excitement, that the Holy Spirit just sets your heart on fire. And so tonight, I want us to be challenged to keep our faith and our testimony and our salvation hot, and keep it fire hot. I think it's safe to say that God has done some awesome things here at Bethel. And as we end 2017, I want us to keep that fanning, that flame, because we need godly men and women fanning the flame. We need to keep it going. It's too easy to become complacent and safe and run on cruise control. Our attitude can shift to, let's just stop and smell the roses. Anybody been there? Everything's going okay. Let's just stop and smell the roses. And let me be the first to say that I like nothing more than just to sit back and find that good fishing spot and just fish, right? But something inside of me, God puts this pressure on me, and inside of me says, no, you need to want more. We need to be more. We need to be faithfully digging in and keeping that fire going, keeping that challenge in front of us. The momentum that we started years ago, man, almost 8 years ago. Can you believe that? February of this next upcoming year will be 8 years that God sent me from Florida up here to join hands with you, and then we walked this walk together. You guys have blessed me more than I could possibly bless you. I've grown so much because of you. You guys allowed me to make mistakes that you probably look back and go, wow, what were we thinking? God has used it tremendously, And I believe today we are seeing the momentum that started back then. We're seeing it now. But I don't want us to get caught up in that momentum and say, okay, we're going to ride this victory wave and keep up. I believe God wants us to keep pushing and keep pushing and stay uncomfortable and keep reaching. There are people in this community that need to know about Jesus Christ. And I don't know why, but I really feel like never before our time is growing shorter and shorter and shorter, with whether it's the freedom of doing it, whether God's going to call me home. I don't know what it is, but I just feel that the time we need to be about it right now, hot, and we need to be going hard after it, and we need to be really showing people what we believe. And maybe it's just because we're one of the only churches up here that are speaking the truth. I don't know. But I have more of a fervent spirit now to get the God's word out and salvations today than I did last year, and the year before, and the year before that. And so I just want to share some of the thoughts that I had. This is the first year that as I sat down and did the budget, because I'm doing the budget, trying to get that before the trustees, they got it. This is the first year that we had actually a down in our giving. We were about $14,000 under where we were at the third quarter of last year. Well, what does that do? Well, I start guessing in my thoughts are, do I need to preach more on giving? Well, maybe we didn't put the money in the right areas. Maybe we didn't spend it where we should have. Maybe we were being too frivolous with some things. Maybe God's trying to get us to rein some things in. Those are the thought patterns that run through my head. And then I started thinking, well, you know, as we think of 2018's budget, maybe we need to cut some things. We need to start X-ing out some things and go line by line by line. Maybe we overprojected from last year. Those are the things that run through my head. And then I start thinking, well, maybe we need to just kind of stop and settle back a little bit. Maybe we just need to come back in some areas and rein it in. And maybe those thoughts are right, but maybe they're not. And so as I start having those thoughts and those different concerns, I want to tell you, I don't have a bat phone. I don't have this red phone where I can just dial up God and say, Father, what are you trying to show us? What exactly do you want us to do? So what I have to do is the next best thing, I got to jump into his word. Anybody else have the same thing like I do, that it's sometimes the last thing you check into is the one thing that is the major thing to check into? So I have to tell you, that was what's happening. That's what's happening. So let's go to the Father in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this evening. And Lord, as we look into your word, I pray that you would answer the questions we have. Lord, I pray we'd be challenged to be on fire for you. I pray that we'd keep that fire lit and keep it hot, so that people could see the love of Jesus Christ in us. Lord, I pray that if I was to say something tonight, if it wasn't your will, I pray you'd take it from me. I thank you for those that are here and those that are watching on Facebook Live and those that will watch it in the days ahead. Lord, I pray you continue to bless them, challenge them. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So we'll be looking at 2 Timothy, and Timothy is, at this time, is Paul's in prison and he's writing, and this is, he's pretty much on his death march. He knows he's going to die. And he's writing to Timothy. He's writing letters to the church. They call them the pastoral epistles, but more to Timothy. And if you start getting what Timothy's characteristics are, you can kind of see that Timothy might be, to me, as I read the word and look at it, he's more laid back. You know, he's more of a, he could be kind of the quiet guy. Maybe he's a little timid. He's not one that likes confrontation. We know that he might have a stomach issue because Paul tells him to drink a little wine for his stomach's sake. And so when I think of Timothy, he's the young guy that comes along. He's mentored by Paul. But then we know Paul. Paul's not that way. He's not timid. Paul's the kind of guy that's going to tell you straight whether you want to hear it or not. I mean, if you study Paul's life out, he doesn't mince his words. He gets right in Peter's face. He doesn't care if you were one of the apostles that walked with Jesus Christ. If you aren't right, he's going to tell you. And so as I look at this word in this letter to Timothy, I start seeing that Paul, to me, he's coming alongside, even though he's in prison. And when we think about Paul in prison, it's nothing like the prisons we see today. Even the prisons that some of the people in third world countries are in, they showed a hole of what they thought Paul was put in or what could have been like. And it was literally a hole in the ground where he got in there. There wasn't even enough room to stand up in, where there'd be rats infested. And then they put the lid over top of it. And you wouldn't even really know it was a prison, except for you'd walk over top of it. And I thought, wow, that is a bad place to be. And here he's writing this letter of encouragement to this young man that's going to carry the flame or the torch. And so, being Paul, the guy he was, he gives us some things here that I want to pull out of God's word that kind of draws us in. And we're going to look right at verse 1. And we're going to go right through some verses here. Verse 1, it says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers, with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that thee it is in thee also. Verse 6, wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So just in these few verses, and we'll look at some more, but these few verses, I think the number one thing here, and you know I'm that guy that looks at the words that are repeated. If you look at verses 3 through 6, what one word do you see repeated three times in those verses that you think I'm going to pull out of there? No. Remembrance. So the number one thing that I got from this when I was looking at it, the Holy Spirit jumped off the page, and I think it was funny because yesterday Daryl Strawberry was preaching, and he said, if one word jumps off the praise, park it because the Holy Spirit's talking to you. And so I started thinking about that again today as I was going back through it. Remembrance. So the first thing we need to do to keep our, the one thing that we have to do, one point as I got tonight and then a bunch of subpoints, is we need to remember. To keep this thing, keep the fire going, keep it hot, we need to remember. We say, what do we need to remember? Well, the first thing we need to remember, we find in verse 3 and 4, the prayer of others. Look at verse 3. I thank God who I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, without ceasing. I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. To keep our faith on high, we need to be in constant remembrance of some things. And the first thing we need to remember that helps stoke our faith is to remember that there's other people praying for you. There are people that have prayed and laid down this thought and before God to say, I'm praying for this church. I'm praying for the direction of the people of Bethel Baptist Church. How many people, and I don't want you to raise your hand, how many people pray for me at least once a week? Would you raise your hand? You pray for me once a week, at least once a week. How many of you pray for somebody in this church every day? You pray for somebody in the church. Look around at those hands. Somebody in this church is praying for people. And that's awesome. So somebody is praying for us. So we need to remember that there are people that are praying for us. So when we look at this, we got to remember our brothers and sisters, they're here striving with us, praying for us. They're praying that God's direction is for the church. So when you're thinking about your fire going out, when you think about you need to keep it hot, remember there's people praying for you. There are brothers and sisters in this church that would die for you. Do you know that? I'm sure we'd all raise our hands right now, but I'm saying there's some real people in this church that in the heat of battle, if something came down to it, they'd stand in the way and take a bullet for you without even thinking twice. Paul prayed for Timothy while he was in prison, a dungeon. And he remembered Timothy's love, and it brought him joy, is what he said in the scripture. When we remember others praying for us, and they have been praying for us, it should keep us, our flames going. They're believers. There's people cheering us on. We're responsible for keeping it burning hot. Others are dependent on other people's faithfulness and passion. Do you realize that? Have you ever thought about that? Other people, your spiritual faithfulness to the Lord Jesus Christ, to this church, to your offerings, to whatever you want to put in there, you are responsible to other people in this church. I need your faithfulness, Bonnie Lawrence. I need your faithfulness, Melissa. I need your passion, Mark Nyme, for Jesus Christ. Peter Arthur, we need that. We're responsible to each other to stir up is what the scripture is talking about. And we're going to talk about what that word means here in a minute. But the first thing we need to remember is there's others are praying for you, all right? So when things are going down, when you're starting to feel complacent, when you're starting to wonder and starting to tip around and figure out what's going on, remember, number one, that people are praying for you. And number two, in verse 5, the pouring of others. Verse 5, when I call in remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded it is in thee also. Paul remembers the genuine faith of Timothy, the faith that was poured into by his grandmother and his mother. Turn with me to chapter 3 of this same book. And look at verse 15. And that from a child hast thou known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Timothy was mentored and invested in. People poured into him. Look at verse 10. This is what Paul's telling him in verse 10. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, my manner of life, my purpose, my faith, my long-suffering, my charity, my patience. You've already known this fully. Somebody has poured into him. Not just Paul, but his grandmother and his mother. How many of the people in this church have poured into you? Better yet, some of us have been believers for decades, so how many people have we poured into? We need to remember the passion, the zeal for keeping it hot that was passed on to you. The more I grow in God, I'm more thankful for those of you that invested in me, and I have a responsibility that I need to keep it hot. I need to keep my faith and my hope in Jesus Christ and my salvation sharpened because you have invested in this guy. Are you with me tonight? Can we? I know it's hard to stay awake because it's dark outside, but you guys have invested in me, and it goes the other way as well. I've invested in you. Doesn't it hurt when you've invested in somebody and you see them walk away from the church? There's nothing worse to me that I can think of than when somebody walks away from the church. It breaks my heart. They can look at me and say, it's nothing to do with you. It's because I just don't, whatever. It still breaks my heart. I want to do whatever I can to keep the body of Christ together. Because we're investing in each other. So we have a responsibility because people pray for us and because others have poured their life into us. I owe it to you to invest time, money, and in many cases, tears to keep it hot. I owe it to Jesus, my Lord, the author and promise of life, to keep it hot. I owe it to all who I pour it in to keep it hot. No place for complacency. We're not satisfied. There's more souls to reach. There's more people that need baptized. I'm praising God I've got 3 to be baptized in December. Are you with me? That's only 3. We can get more. I mean, don't you want to see more people baptized on that Sunday? Still trying to figure out the date. But people that have said they've trusted in Jesus Christ and they want to show their example of who he is and that they've surrendered to him by baptism. Then they're grown adults. Amen. There are more messes that we need to get involved in. You hear me? There's more messes we need to get involved in. I can think of a couple messes we've gotten into the last couple years that made me a little gun shy. that I kind of made me whack a little bit, cool my jets, as you'd say, make me refocus. And that's not a bad thing, because sometimes you can rush into some things and you need to kind of look at it differently, maybe come up with a SOP, standard operating procedure, how things get, you know, you got to get things done. But I think I took it a step too far back to where I became a little cynical. And some of you that are closer to some of the decisions that get done, you'll know there's been some times I'm almost second-guessing what the Holy Spirit's put upon my heart, which again could almost not be a bad thing because we need to make sure it comes from the Holy Spirit, right? But I've gotten a little too complacent, and we can't. We can't get complacent. Somebody said today we had 205 people in church today. Praise God, but there's another 205 to get saved. There's 205 more people that need to get saved. In church people switching churches, that's great. I get it, but I want to see some new salvations. I want to see some births. That's how we add to the kingdom of Christ. You know, when somebody says, well, we're coming to this church and we're 200, 300, whatever that number is, I want to see some of that to be new births. That's new growth. That's what we want to see, right? That's how we get the baptism waters to be flowing over. I'm not pushing people out that are transferring. Don't be like that. Some of you are like, oh, here we go. No, don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong. So we got to remember. So then thirdly, because we got to get moving on time here, your position in God. So it's not only people praying for you. It's not only people pouring into you, but it's also your position in God that we need to be on fire. Verses 6 and 7, as I've already read those, I'm going to read it in the ESV. It says verse 6, For this reason, I remind you to fan it into flame, the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. Literally, in those days, when they laid their hands onto another person to ordain them, called to the ministry, part of their spiritual gifts would go into that person they're laying their hands onto. I still believe that to this day. When I was ordained in Florida, I had six guys that surrounded me, and I feel that each one of them had spiritual gifts that God took from them and put into me. Could be discernment, could be love, long-suffering, whatever it is. I still believe that that's the way it's transferred by the Holy Spirit. So it's what Paul's saying. He's saying, you've got a position in God. So what does it mean to have a position in God? Well, if you keep reading verse 6, it says, because of Jesus Christ and his righteousness, we have been adopted into the family, and we've been not given to the spirit of fear. I'm sorry, I think that was verse 7, wasn't it? Let me go back. Verse 7, yes, and it says, for God hath not given us to the spirit of fear. So our position is not fear. Now that word fear is actually, does anybody have a different translation? What's that word say? Intimidity, yeah, cowardice is what it literally is talking about. We're not supposed to be in the spirit of cowardice. We're not supposed to be scared. Hold your place there and turn with me to Romans chapter 8, verse 15. We just covered this the other day. Romans 8, chapter 15. I'm sorry, Romans 8, verse 15. You're there? Hold your place in Timothy, too. I don't want you to lose it. We're staying. Romans 8, 15. It's a couple books back, a few books back there. Romans 8, verse 15. It says, for you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The word is better translated cowardice. We should have fears, of course, to keep us safe. I'm not saying if you have a lion chasing after you, you say, oh, I'm not scared because I have God. No, you should be fearful. Fearful keeps us safe. Fearing tells us that we shouldn't go up in the machine that John has because I weigh too much and I'm scared of the height. So God bless him, but I have the fear. It keeps me safe down here. Right? But this is talking about spiritus of cowardness. This is talking about when you're put on the spot to show what God's done in your life, what the gospel is about, we bite our tongues. We don't dare say anything because we could offend. We're to be stirred up, stoke it up, rearrange the embers in your life to keep the fire going. Take out a time and knock out the burnt parts. You ever seen a fire go? I've learned over the last couple years, because I didn't do much fire burning in Florida. I'd probably be arrested in the part of town I lived in. But I learned when you're burning a log, if you take a log, anybody ever taken a log that's been burned in the fire that still has some to it and then throw it in the fire, what happens? It's not going to burn, right? Because it's already toasted out. But there's some wood as it's burning. If you knock off that blackness, what happens? It comes back to fire. You start stoking it off. You knock the embers off. Maybe there's some things in your life you need to knock off. You need God to just knock it right off. Just chip it off, say, I'm done with it, and it'll stoke that fire back up for him. We need to stir it up. And so also, so look at our position. So we're not to be fearful, but continuing with that verse in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. We're not supposed to have the spirit of fear. Spirit of fear says this, I can't do something because I'm afraid of what's going to happen. I'm afraid to come to church because somebody shot up a church in Texas. No, you come to church. We don't lock the doors. We don't strip search people at the door. We don't wand them. We trust in the fact that Jesus Christ is going to protect us physically, and if he doesn't, then it's our time to go. That doesn't mean we don't take procedures. I'm not going to lie to you and tell you we don't have things planned out where guys are armed and if something happens, whatever. But I'm just telling you, we can't live in the spirit of fear that says, I'm not going to go over there because of this reason. That's cowardice. We got to serve God. It should not stop us from serving him. Same thing with if we go to on a missions trip. God's calling us to a missions trip, but we won't go because we're afraid to go on a boat. That's cowardice. We need to get over it. We need to be serving Christ. We need to get on that boat. So then it talks about what he does give us. He gives us power, that verse. Not the spirit of fear, but we have power, God's power. What else does it say we have there? We have love, and we have a sound mind. This is what Matthew Henry wrote about this one verse, verse 7. he says this, the Spirit of God gives to his ministers, and then I put his deacons or servants, because that word deacon means servant, we're all servants, is not a fearful but a courageous spirit. It is a spirit of power, for they speak in his name, who has all power both in heaven and earth, and it is the same spirit of love, for love to God and to the souls of men must inflame us ministers in all their service. And it is the spirit of a sound mind, for that speaks words of truth and soberness. That's a lot of stuff to get out of those verses, isn't it? A lot of times I'm envious of those men that have all that stuff. But anyways, that's a whole different sermon. But we have that power by the power of Jesus Christ inside of us that we don't have to give to the spirit of fear. We don't have to be cowards. That we can have the power of love and a sound mind and a sober mind. Okay, let's continue on. We're also, not only do we have the prayers, not only do we have the pouring in, not only do we have our position in God, but we also are partakers in verse 8. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me this prisoner, but be thou partakers of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. That word partakers, what's another word for, what, somebody got a newer translation, a different translation, what's the word there? Is there a word in there, join or share? That's what it's talking about. We're a join and we're share in the affliction of the gospel. If we want it to be hot, we better be ready to be afflicted. I think it's funny because what is one of the biggest selling things besides tap out inside the MMA fighting shirts? What's one of the things that we know? Afflicted, affliction. It's talking about afflicting, but it's talking about afflicting pain or making them tap out. We're to have the affliction of the gospel. We're to be ready to be afflicted just as he was or with him or because of his sake. We're partakers. You say, well, how does that keep my fire brewing? Because it should. It should keep us fired up that we are to be out there and we're to tell. And I think I was talking to Tim this morning, Tim Kazee. I thought it was Casey or Kesey or whatever. He was telling me that what he's found in his study, of even in America, that more people are ready to hear the gospel than we think they are. There are more people that are ready to hear it and even willing to listen to it, even if they're not going to believe it, than what we think there is. He did some study with it and has all these numbers on it that we make it out more than what it is because we allow the devil to tear us down. That as soon as you tell it, most people will listen, even if they're not interested. The chances are most people aren't going to tell you to fly a kite. They're just going to say, I'm not interested. But we got to be ready. Because we're partakers. If we're going to be partakers and joint and we're going to have the sharing in the heavenly rewards that 1 Peter says is incorruptible, we got to be ready to also be partakers and joint and sharing with the persecution and affliction that comes along. How do we keep it hot? We got to remember people are praying for us, pouring to others, our position in God, our partaking. And then the next one is our purpose, verse 9. Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which is given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. We don't get a purpose until we meet Jesus. I stole that from Daryl Strawberry. He said, I didn't become a man until I became born again. I was just a little boy playing with things I shouldn't have been playing with. And I say this, we don't have a true purpose until we become born again. We're just floundering around. We're just doing whatever we want. We're out surfing. We're out laying on the beach. We're all doing whatever we're wanting to do. We're sowing to the flesh. It is no purpose but leads to where? Death. We don't get a purpose that takes us into a purpose of life until we're born again. We don't get a holy calling on our life until we're saved. Do you understand that? You have a holy calling on your life. Kurt Nichols, you know that. You've got a holy calling on your life. God has put a holy calling on every one of us to do something for him, for his glory, and to keep it going and keep it hot. God knows nothing of our fleshly purpose, but he knows everything according to his purpose. The purpose that we have been given, the privilege to be partakers, is where it was put in place before time begins. Look at that verse again in verse 9. He called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus, where? Before time. Your purpose in 2017, or whatever day it was and year it was you got saved, was already etched before time. God had it all planned out. So when you're starting to feel like your fire is going out, you need to remember you got a purpose, and it comes from a holy God with a holy calling that has a holy demand on us, and he said, get going. In our new purpose, we're given encouragement. Jump down to verses 11 through 13. It says, wherefore I am appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know who I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Verse 13, hold fast the form of sound words. Anybody have a different translation instead of hold fast? What does it say? What was that? Keep. Or it means to follow after. It means to follow the pattern that you've seen alive in me. Imitate my faith, my love, which has been given to me because of Jesus Christ, and it's kept by the power of the Holy Spirit. And he says that in verse 14, that good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the what? Holy Ghost, which dwells inside of you. That's how we keep it hot, is to remember the purpose. And we need to back up to verse 10, because I don't want to go past that, because verse 10 is linked with verse 9. But is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and brought life and immortality and light through the gospel. So our purpose is to see that life is brought to the world, to darkness. And there's a lot of people that need to know our light, amen? They need to know what our purpose is about, and our purpose is not for their money. Our purpose is for them to become born-again believers and to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. So, wrapping up, and we'll be done right here, I want to give you a warning. When it comes to keeping the flame or keeping it hot, keeping where it goes, we get a warning here that Paul gives us through verses 15 through 18, and they are to stay away from pretenders. You like I'm playing with the P's tonight? P-P-P, everything's P's. Stay away from the pretenders. Look at verse 15. This thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me, of whom are Phlegelus and Hermogenes. That's right. The Lord give mercy, Hermogenes, right, unto the house of Onesiphorus, whatever. For he oft refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. But when he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently and found me. The Lord grant unto him that he may find mercy of the Lord in that day, and in how many things he ministered unto me in Ephesus, thou knowest very well. You will grow cold as a cucumber. You will become that burned out ash of a fire if you hang around with pretenders. They will steal your passion and your zeal. Are you hearing me this morning or this evening? They will steal your passion. They will steal your zeal. They will throw a wet blanket over top of your fire and your passion like you've never seen before. You need to surround yourselves with the guy that we're going to call one, who was not ashamed. They challenge you to live closer to God. Verse 16, that verse that says, oft refreshed me, is better translated this way. You know what he was like to Paul? A breath of fresh air. That's how I like it translated better. I went in the Greek and looked at it. A breath of fresh air is what I would translate it as. That's how this man was. It was like a brand new breath of fresh air that he needed at that time because he was suffocating. That's how this man was. But the rest of them, they weren't. They were ashamed of him. They were ashamed of his chains. They were ashamed of the cause. They were pretenders. And can I tell you what a pretender looks like? A pretender is somebody that says this. You're a little too passionate. You need to tamper it down a little bit. We got enough people in church. We really don't need any more. We're okay where we're at. Let's just sit where we're at. We don't need to witness to people. God will get the message out. To me, that's what a pretender looks like. Somebody that's more concerned about their life and their fleshly desires and in the things that they want. And they're not concerned about the things of what God's called us, his kingdom, to worship. But the ones that are the breath of fresh air are the ones that come in, and when you've been around them, you're like, woo! You ever been like that? Been around them, you're like, man, I want more of that. They're like a lightning rod, and you plug in, and you're like, I don't know, but I'm ready to do something. Let's knock down a wall, right? Because it's infectious, and it's a breath of fresh air, and it's not stale, and it's not that same old that you're used to hearing, and your fire just springs up inside of you, and you just can't help it, but it oozes out of you, and you just want to go tell somebody about Jesus. Those are the people we need to surround ourselves around. How are we going to keep ourselves on fire? To surround ourselves with the people that want to be on fire, the ones that want to build into it. Hebrews 6:10 says this, "For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed towards his name, and that you have ministered to the saints and do minister." He's saying God is not going to forget about the work that you've done in his name and for his people to lift his people up. We can't allow the fire to burn out. We got to keep fanning it. We need to keep pushing outside our comfort zones. We need to remember that Christ, and without Christ, we have no calling. We have areas that we need to look at, some areas that need to be chipped away and need to be cut off. Remember that people have been praying for you. I have people in my life that are in heaven this day right now that I'm accountable for. I need to be the best servant of Christ that I can be for the people that have poured into my life and prayed for me that are standing before the throne of God right now. And anytime I start feeling sorry for myself, anytime I start thinking, you know what, I'm done with this preaching gig, I'm going to go back and do whatever, or I'm done with being married, I'm done with being a father, I'm done being responsible, I'm going to go do whatever I want to do, as we looked at yesterday, that's not being a man, that's going back to the old nature of being a boy. I realize that there are people that I influence that I have a responsibility to do what's right for. And I wonder how much more and how much better we would do if we remembered we have that many people out there that we need to be right for and keep fanning that flame and keeping it hot. I can think of Peggy Thompson. She's poured more into my life than many other people have. I think of Betha Strom. Woman poured her life into me. I still can't get over the fact that she thanked me for loving her on her deathbed. Can you believe that? On her deathbed, dying of cancer, sitting in a hospital room, telling me to go on to do what God's told me to do and not look back no matter what man says. She seen something inside of me that God showed her by the Holy Spirit. Keep plugging along, keep doing what you're supposed to do, and thank you for loving me. What? What? A day later, she's gone into heaven. All I could say to her is, Betha, just say hi to my grandma. That's all I could say. So please just say hi to her and tell her I'm trying. Pastor Ross, the man that led me to the Lord, his ministry continues through me. I have a responsibility to keep it fire going for him because he's waiting for his crown so he can toss before Christ. You know, that doesn't happen until we're all there. He's still earning those crowns through all the people he's invested in. Ones that are alive today, my pastor in Tennessee, on and on and on. That's not even mentioning you guys here. Mark and Peter and Mark and Chet and Brian and Ronnie. And the list goes on and on and on of men and women and Nancy that have prayed for me and poured into me. We have a responsibility to keep that fire hot. You get what I'm saying? I have a responsibility for Jack to keep that fire hot. Man's poured a lot of his life into me. He sits there and listens to my stories half the time. Now I know why he says, mm-hmm, all the time, because it's the only way he can put up with me. We're partakers with Jesus because we're joined at the hip. And we have a purpose that comes to Christ, and I will not let the pretenders win. I won't do it. I don't know what God has laid ahead for Bethel. I don't know what God has laid ahead for you and I. I don't know if tomorrow comes. I don't know. But I'm telling you, as I stand right here, I will not let pretenders win. I won't do it. I'm not going to. I'm going to be more selfish with my time, my spirituality, than to put myself in a place to where a pretender is going to steal any of the fire that God's brewing inside of me. That doesn't mean I'm not going to take counsel. That doesn't mean I'm not going to listen to a guy and say, oh, well, you're just a pretender. No. We all know you have those pretenders in your life. I'm going to stop giving less time there. Doesn't mean I don't love them. Doesn't mean I won't pray for them. Doesn't mean I hope something awesome happens through maybe one of the flames jump from my fire into theirs. But I'm not going to let them take up so much space here and so much space here. Because I have responsibility to you that are on fire to keep that passion going. Amen. Every head bowed and every eye closed.